This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
They need help in the trenches, and I think Sean McDermott wants that, Brandon Bean wants that, whether it's defensive tackle or defensive end, and it is a very good class at both of those positions. It's not just Abdul Carter. It's not just Mason Graham inside for Michigan. And even if teams need those premium positions, there are enough that feel like they are going to be first-round caliber, and it's a really good edge rusher and interior defensive line class. So it will come down to the grades. It'll come down to, of course, what the Bills prioritize and, of course, what they do in free agency, filling some of those defensive needs in the trenches.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, going to have a weekly segment with Shopin' the Bulldog Wednesdays at 4 p.m., talking a lot about this draft class. And Derek, I, for one, I think this draft perfectly sets up for what the Bills need.
The beef and cheese.
The beef and cheese wagon, baby.
The beef.
We had the wide receiver train last year. This year, it's the beef and cheese wagon. Slowly turn them, you know, to the side of the train. They need the big boys. And that's a big part of it too. They need, you know, space eaters. They need help in the trenches. Matt Parrino.
Get in my belly.
Matt Parrino yesterday with Bulldog brought up a really good point too, that I think the Bills need to kind of change their draft process, or maybe how they identify prospects, is maybe take some risks. You know, looking back at last year's class, they ultimately take Cole Bishop in the second round, and he sat most of the year, partially due to the fact that, well, kind of didn't need him to play. They were fine at the safety position. But what about a guy like Tavondre Sweat, who won the Outland Award last year for the best defensive lineman in college football, is a big guy, 6'4", 345 pounds, and fleet of foot. He's one of the few positives on the Tennessee Titans, but he had some red flags character-wise.
So, yeah, taking a risk, especially with the culture that you've built within mm-hmm. this team, I feel like it's something that you can do. Good rosters have typically a little bit more of that wiggle room, that freedom, when it comes to grabbing a guy that might have that sort of issue.
I think for a long time the Bills too aggressively have written off anyone that doesn't fit. And I could be wrong. I'm not inside the building.
Maybe
that's what it feels like.
That could be also what makes the culture so good, is that they make sure to grab high character guys.
But it kind of becomes like, why build that culture if you're not willing to then, you know, kind of bring in guys who maybe aren't perfect for it, but you can help mold them.
Yes.
I think the Bills should have.
How strong is the culture really, question mark?
Adonai Mitchell was a guy I brought up for this a lot last year, where it was his big problem was he seemed to be kind of a flighty practice player. But a lot of it seemed to stem from his lack of taking his insulin on time.
Yes.
He's suffering with diabetes, and so that became a huge issue. My thing, and I kind of went away from Adonai a little bit once Diggs was gone, but my whole point was, you've built this great locker room,
this great culture. You think McDermott is making sure that that's happening on schedule? You better bet.
Well, and that was my whole point, is like, you have Stephon Diggs, who's a crazy person in terms of his
intensity
and how he's going to be practicing and how he's going to perfect his craft. You put then a talented receiver like Adonai Mitchell with him, and again, I mean, his rookie year kind of went awry a little bit. I blame mainly quarterback, and I will die on that hill. I mainly blame quarterback. But he was somebody I would have loved for them to have taken a shot at. Tavondre Sweat was another guy. I wrote one of our draft articles on him, the same thing. And his issues sort of came out a little bit later about what he was. But it never seems like the Bills want to take those risks. Looking back to this Eagles team that just won the Super Bowl, it's like all risks.
It's
guys who maybe aren't going to make it, but they've got an incredible leader in Jalen Hurts at quarterback. And they've got a really well-established culture of guys who have been there, done that, know what to do in the league, and can handle a little bit of drama.
And the Bills, honestly, are just as equipped for that. They've been there, done that, save for one piece. They've done everything except for the really two things that you could do. Gain a one seed and go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But they've done everything else in between. Why not?
I think especially when you need sort of that game breaker, that elite level player, you got to take some risks.
You need some talent sometimes, and sometimes talent comes with an inherent risk. That said, I know the general manager's not scared of that. Why? He tried to trade for Antonio Brown once.
He did. That's right. He did. He did do that.
I know Brandon Bean is not afraid of it at all. I know Sean McDermott's not afraid of it at all. Why? Because they took a good-hearted stab at probably the worst locker room presence in modern history.
But even look who they ultimately did trade for, Stephon Diggs. What was his perception before he got to Buffalo? He's a diva.
Yep.
He's going to want out of Buffalo in 15 minutes once he finds out Josh Allen's throwing the ball. And they still made that move. Even Von Miller, not really necessarily those issues, but they're big swings. I want them, though, to start doing that in the draft, too.
And I
trust
think that
your culture. Trust your basically your foundation to put maybe guys who aren't
one may
suited
say
the
trust
best.
The process.
Trust the process. And I guess it's my thing is, look, were you ever going to get a shot at a Jalen Carter? No, he was gone way before
that. He was pick 9.
But
it was also a surprise that he got to pick 9.
Yeah. But
because he was that good.
But I do look at guys like Tavondre Sweat and Adonai Mitchell, who I think both, if they were on the Bills, would have been very successful this year. Adonai Mitchell, for a good period of the year, his separation stats for rookie receivers, even though his numbers were down, were incredibly high. That's why I blame the quarterback a lot.
And that's why I think that it may come off as arrogance,
mm-hmm.
but the Bills absolutely should be doing these sorts of things because of the fact that they are a steady presence. They are a steady winner. They are one of the most consistent, dominant teams in the NFL. They are a presence year in, year out. Who doesn't want to play for that?
Yeah.
And I say that, and it sounds arrogant as hell. But
it's where you're at, though.
But that's where they are. They are a consistently recognizable force now within the league circles. Buffalo is not just this place of cold and chicken wings. They also now have a good football team.
Yeah, guys.
You could add that to the list.
Which is huge. And that's the thing, too, is you're not – the Buffalo Bills of the past or even like the New York Jets now where you go there and you're like, I'm making my money.
Where you had to sell the barn to get Mario Williams here, which was a big deal. But
it was a huge deal. But a lot of it, along the lines of.
Now it's not a big deal.
But for me, it's also you're not going to get guys that necessarily going to like be on their best behavior. Maybe, to lack of a better phrase. You get to Buffalo, it's okay, I'm playing with Josh Allen. McDermott, they're always in the AFC Championship, or they're always one of these best teams. I have got to lock in. I think that does play a factor of showing up to a current Buffalo Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, and Philadelphia Eagles, compared to showing up to the Cleveland Browns, the New York Jets, the Raiders, where
even like a team like Indy.
Indy, yeah, is a lot of it too. Where they might kind of let it slide a little bit. They may not be as tight on some of these guys where, like you mentioned, with Sean McDermott, you think he was not going to be on top of Adonai Mitchell to take his insulin if that really was an issue?
Exactly.
Or Tavondre Sweat, kind of speeding a lot?
Yeah.
You may have had some troubling headlines early. Look at Jordan Addison is maybe the perfect example for Minnesota.
I hate to say it like this, but again, I know the team's not scared of it. They drafted a punter that had some very major issues with character. So they're not scared of it, I don't think. I think they just are believing more in – I don't think they're necessarily always about this culture over talent issue. Because they've proven in the past that they can do this, or they're willing to do this. They're willing to take a stab at this sort of thing. Ready? Even Von Miller. Yeah. Von Miller didn't have the cleanest character record.
No, I think some stuff in college here as well.
He had the domestic issues before coming to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not new.
I want to get to a point in the draft.
I'm not advocating for draft the worst people possible. I'm saying that this team is not scared of it.
No, and I agree. And that's my thing, too. I'm not talking about, like, blazing red flags. It's like, no, it's Aiken. We're still great. No, I mean, if they're really falling because of such issues, I get it. But I don't want to, like, write somebody off because it's like, nah,
yeah,
he might be a little lazy in practice.
It's not like you're advocating
to
be the mid-2000s Cincy Bengals.
No. They need difference makers. It can't all be, you know, the best PR answers you've ever heard kind of guys or stuff like that.
And again, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I've seen this team take stabs like this before. I would expect that they will continue to do so.
I like, though, that you don't think they have any kind of buyer's remorse from Von Miller.
No.
That's something I thought about maybe talking about later this week, but you seem pretty confident that it's not going to hurt him at all.
Here's why. Because it's the same stance that I had about the Xavier Worthy nonsense from the start of the year.
Mm.
If you are scared of that sort of thing, you're not an NFL GM. You're just one of us arguing with a microphone or a phone call or whatever, or on Twitter.
I'd like him never to trade with the Chiefs, though, again, just personally.
Ready? I don't care. Do it again. As a matter of fact, do it to piss everyone off, to make your team better.
Yeah,
That's the thing. That's how I know that Brandon Bean is not scared, is because he knows that he's going to do what he thinks is best for the team. I know the man's not scared. Because what do people call him? Big Baller Bean. Make the baller moves.
It's partially why people believe that the Bills will even be involved in a Myles Garrett potential trade.
And the fearlessness of a general manager being willing to take these swings, that's why I know there's no remorse on that sort of thing. Again, the man tried trading for Antonio Brown. You want to talk about fearlessness? That is staring at the face of fear and laughing in its face.
It is
Brandon
wild
Bean.
Pittsburgh has insane receivers.
I know the man has no fear over what has happened in the past. I know that there is one drive, and that is get over the bleeping hump for the love of everything. So, yeah, I expect they're going to be in on getting a star pass rusher because they tried it. The idea didn't work because of bad luck, not because the player was cheeks when he signed. No, he declined because he got hurt.
Yeah.
This wasn't Trent Murphy.
No, that was a miss. That was a miss. It was a miss.
Yeah.
No,
they will not be scared of the idea. If the price is right, they will acquire somebody.
But I mean, like me and Sal talked about it a lot too, of, you know, those first 9-10 games before that Thanksgiving game against the Lions, it was a perfect signing. It was exactly what the Bills needed. Von Miller came up with the closing play for the Chiefs regular season game that year that ultimately gave the Bills the win. I mean, it worked. The problem, you rightfully bring up, it was bad luck. It was an injury. He declined not because of his own ability, but because of an injury. I will say, though, in part, is I'm always going to be a draft-first guy. I mentioned it in the first hour. I'm very rarely going to be big on trades. Pass rusher, though, and quarterbacks are the two, especially in draft, I'm willing to do. But I love this defensive tackle class so much, and I think that was a big issue why they weren't getting pressure.
It's about a shot in the arm for me.
Yeah, I get that.
That's what I think this is that the Bills ascended to a new level when they made a trade for a veteran acquisition. And a name that would actually like really ring some doorbells and go, hey, they're serious. And this is the next step. For me, you get a star player on this defense, something that they are missing and have been now for the last couple of years. They need a star player on defense too, because you look at them and you go, you've got a bunch of good players, none of which I'm going and saying great. Yes, I know there's a recognition problem with Buffalo. Good for Christian Benford for getting a vote for Defensive Player of the Year.
That's awesome.
That is also the only player on that team that got a vote for Defensive Player of the Year. You need some recognition, you need some star power, and you need a difference maker. All of these things can be true. And I know the general manager will think the same damn thing. He is not afraid of making the trade to bring in a difference maker.
But I do look at the draft, and I think you can get difference makers there, I think especially this year. I look at what the Rams did.
I also look at Brandon Bean's draft record with defensive linemen,
yeah,
and I don't love it.
So I mean, but is that really the big thing for you?
No. One thing does not guarantee the other.
Okay.
That said, I know that it's going to be my hill to die on. And if I die on it, then I'm dead. Okay, you can all celebrate after. But I think that this is the next step for them, is getting that star player on defense and having it be an established guy, kind of like the Stephon Diggs trade. You bring in an established talent to help this team ascend, because there is still some ascension to do.
I mean, there's still some ascension to do. They also do have some young defensive players that you maybe could get excited about. Javon Salman didn't play a ton, but he had two sacks. And you wonder, you know.
He was really fun as a splash rotational defensive player.
Then you wonder, you know, going into year two, and you do add, let's say, a Miles Garrett or Max Crosby, what does that do for him? I know a lot of us talk about Groot potentially being a part of a trade there, so maybe he's not on this roster. But it doesn't help out Ed Oliver in the interior.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, 1,000%. What does a premier edge rusher do? Makes a quarterback collapse into the pocket, step into the pocket. And what do you have there? You have one of the better pass rushing defensive tackles in the National Football League.
His biggest problem, honestly, I don't even necessarily think it's him. It really is if he does not have a space eater next to him, because he's always been an undersized defensive tackle.
He's a smaller defensive tackle.
And that's why I do bring up, you know, guys like Trevondre Sweat, or even this year, I'm a big Kenneth Grant guy. He seems to be my number one for defensive tackle. You add him, I think that also helps out Oliver and maybe even the outside pressure, but
welcome.
But you're also hoping, you know, for immediate rookie impact.
Welcome to the beef and cheese wagon.
It's going to happen.
Beef. Draft the beef, get the cheese, which is the zingy, zesty cheese, the pass rush. Beef and cheese. That's my thing this year. Large boys, boring draft class. Give me big boys. Give me space eaters.
Mm-hmm.
And give me not having a first-round pick because you traded it to go get a top-tier pass rusher. Boring draft to start it.
How much are you not going to like this offseason if they don't trade for Garrett? Or Crosby.
You shrug your shoulders and you move on.
Okay.
I'm not going to create any sort of like – I'm not going to make any issues of it if they don't, because, first of all, I'm used to being wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, if they don't do it, they don't do it. It's okay. It's not the end of the world. It was just an idea. And it is a philosophy that I think they should do. But again, I'm not an NFL GM.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know the GM ain't afraid.
I don't think the GM's afraid.
No,
I mean, we were talking about it before.
He's not hesitant. You mentioned like how I suspect that there is no buyer's remorse. There better not be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a regret over what happened.
And how it went down.
How it all went down, but that's it. You're upset about the circumstances that happened, not the idea. And chasing the idea is what makes me hopeful about this, and that's why I'm going to stand on this hill. That's why I'm getting on the Beef and Cheese Express.
We were talking about it, though, even before we jumped on today. You know, when you're talking about that and everything that kind of went on there, you do wonder, though, if they even have the ability to go get Miles
Asset
Garrett.
Asset-wise, they are actually stronger than I think in years past. You have multiple second-round picks. You have your first-round pick.
Garrett, and that's just this year.
Garrett in particular is the aim because of the less cap gymnastics you have to do. Crosby has a bigger cap hit. Hendrickson's going to command a bigger cap hit. If you want to do this and it's easier on your cap space, work with Cleveland, who also is putting their hands up and surrendering this year. Like, they're the Will Levis surrender cobra after tossing that weird lateral pick six in the first week.
His first month was
Cleveland's season is next year is that. Just surrender cobra and you deal with it. Work with the Browns, see what you got to do, and find the best deal for the team to help you win. That said, again, it doesn't have to be Garrett. Garrett is the face of my ideal, which is get a star player for this defense. I'm not worried about it if it is a player in the secondary. A ball hawk safety would be a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You had two box safeties starting for you for the most of last year.
Yeah.
Tell me they don't get even more turnovers or more big plays out of a ball hawking safety like what Micah Hyde was for this team.
I agree.
I would say they need a rangy safety because that's how that defense's philosophy works.
You think they're going to do that in free agency? I feel like safety might be one of the few positions they really
they might try to fortify it.
Yeah,
I do agree. Taylor Rapp was this interesting low-key idea for grooming to be one of the starting safeties. But
you got a little bit of a look at it.
But now you're starting to see, like, he's probably a replacement-level player.
I fully believe they're going to do Cole Bishop, last year's draft, second-round pick, this year, free agency. And that might be, like, one of their few moves in free agency.
And then
outside of retaining guys.
And then draft and free agency is beef and cheese.
I mean, I think so, too.
I mean, draft and trade market, I should say.
I am looking at the Rams, though, in 2024, last year's draft, as maybe the perfect template. Because when we look at the Eagles, again, they were the ninth overall pick, and they get Carter. When you look at the Rams' 2024 draft, it's those first two selections. Verse at 19, he ultimately goes on to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. And then they draft his compatriot at Florida State, Braden Fisk, in the second round at pick 39.
Beef and cheese.
And look at how those two were. Verse wins Defensive Rookie of the Year and is a Pro Bowler. Verse gets 8.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and he's one of the better young defensive tackles in football. And overnight, it changed their defense. Now, did you nail both those picks? Yes. And like you have mentioned, Brandon Bean, not just defensive lineman, but really the early round drafts have been frustrating.
The problem is it's not just the drafts. Brandon Bean, with free agents, has also not done the greatest of jobs.
But then
you look
at those new coaching additions they brought in.
But that's why the ideal of a trade for an established player is there.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have guesswork in this. That's why Myles Garrett's the face of the idea for me.
There is no guesswork
involved.
There's no
guesswork
he's gonna
here.
Be great. Yeah.
You know he's great. Get him. He's available. Get him.
I look at the last two Super Bowl winners, though, and it's cheap, young defensive talent, not the big swings necessarily.
It is, but I do think that it's a step in the right direction because the Bills do have enough of those players. What are they lacking? A difference maker, a game stealer.
Mm-hmm.
Why are the Pittsburgh Steelers relevant?
Yep.
And it's not just because T.J. Watt steals them games. It is because they have enough defensive talent across the roster that when Watt goes into cheat code mode, they win games.
Guys, yeah.
Like, I think back to the Bengals game in week one of a couple of years ago. They pick off Burrow like 4 times.
Yeah, he's awful.
TJ Watt was a menace for them. And the only reason the Bengals were even in that game is because Matt Canada's offense. But it's because that roster has a collective. The Bills have a collective of talent. Add me that cherry on the top.
That's also a good point, too. Like what does it do for Terrell Bernard's game and Christian Benford's game?
What does it do for Ed Oliver? What does it do for whoever's on the other edge?
Do all of a sudden, Terrell Bernard goes from a damn good middle linebacker to a Pro Bowl, maybe All-Pro middle linebacker?
Benford, he's not the focus.
Yeah, he's not the focus. He can kind of just, he's been a turnover machine. That's why a lot of us loved him right away when he took over for Tremaine Edmonds was this guy can make big plays. That was always Edmonds' big issue. He was going to be there just a step late, where Bernard is there a step on time, and he's right there when he needs
to make
a play.
Might even be a step ahead.
Might be even a step ahead. I mean, and then they have young guys like Dorian Williams, who for a little bit there made people believe, Matt Milano, he's a nice, fun piece to have. We've got our outside linebacker. Or I mentioned Javon Salmon in his rookie year, not getting a ton of play time. 2 sacks,
and
wonder if he's going to be kind of a guy for them in the next few years of a closer sort of deal.
And what helps a young defensive secondary? Because that's what the Bills are going to have to turn into now.
Yeah.
Give me that top-tier guy. Give me a pass rush headlined by someone that takes the focus and still wins anyway.
I'm preparing for the Bills to not have the capital to do it.
Give me a guy who can command double teams and still beat them.
I'm telling you, I'm preparing, and I want it to happen. I think the Bills have the cojones to do it. I think they have the will to do it. I don't know.
They have the assets to do it.
I think they have the assets, but I think a team like Washington is going to be, because they can have the cap space, they don't have to do too much. The Bills are going to have to do a little bit more. I mean, they're behind 2 teams in terms of available cap space. Like, Washington is going to be aggressive this year.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing is, it's going to be very difficult to outbid them.
If you lose out to another team, that's fine. I still that's why I'm not
Kansas City or Philadelphia.
That's why I'm not ride or die on this hill. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to die on the hill, but I'm not going to scream out no if they don't have it happen. Will I be dejected? Yes. I'll be more irritated that another team probably ponied up more. That's what it's going to be for me. It's going to be like, curse you, Washington. Why'd you have, like, why'd you give up an extra first-round pick? Or, mm-hmm. like, whatever the context is going to matter here.
Yep.
But, again, I think it's just the idea to me makes enough sense to want to be on.
That you're on this train. That you're, train that you're going with it.
Beef and Cheese Express.
This Boring. Year, Washington has a first-round pick, 29th, right behind the Bills.
Right
Bills
behind,
pick at
30th. Right in front of them, yeah.
They have 1 second, 1 third, 1 5, 1 sixth, and 2 sevens.
I think the Bills are better equipped to make a deal. They could have be. More assets.
It could be.
Washington, though, might be more prone to giving up more in the future.
That's more my thinking, is that because of the cap space and
Not
because
just the cap
what
space,
the team is looks like now.
You also have a quarterback on a rookie deal. You can get away with more.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you mentioned the cap space on that, having the rookie deal quarterback, and also just telling this young team, yeah, let's do this, is never a bad idea.
Well, yeah, especially when you find the young quarterback, that changes. I mean, we've seen it countless times now that having that young quarterback just changes fundamentally the franchise.
And the Bills do have to play a little behind the eight ball there now.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you can't pull these things off. And why Garrett's the face is because he costs the least amount on your cap.
Yep.
You will have to give up more premier of assets, but you have less gymnastics you have to do. It's a trade I think I'm willing to make. It's a deal I'm willing to make with, you know, not having as much cap gymnastics you have to do. I'm willing to part with more assets to get him because of that fact. Give me that dude. Boring day one and day two. You and I are going to be sitting here on draft night and day one going, why are we here?
Oh, I won't be.
Because
Kenneth Grant's going to be there third and he'll be like, here we go, boys. Here
no,
we
no.
go.
It's going to happen where we're going to be sitting here on day one of the draft talking about, yeah, they gave up their pick for a premier pass rusher. Why are we here?
Could be. 803-0550, the number two call. Rob will get to your call after a quick timeout. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer with you for another half hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
I don't know many teams are going to hand you a Chris Jones or a game wrecker. They're probably sewed up. There's not a lot of players that make 28 to 30-some million dollars a year, which I think is kind of what those high-end defensive players are making. We'll turn over every stone we can to find them, but would I love to add one of those guys? Heck yeah, I would.
Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean, that's at locker cleanout.
Heck yeah, indeed, Bean.
Yeah, that's at his final press conference. We will hear Bean speak next week, though, at the NFL Combine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of interested to hear him probably get a similar question again. Because before he had said that Myles Garrett had not officially announced, his trade request,
yeah.
And gone on his radio
row. I
would
imagine we're probably going to hear, we're having conversations, something like that.
Or just, or he kind of like,
you want me to get
the
cuckoo
wink,
for
wink,
Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah.
If he says something hinting at that, I'm going to be insufferable next week.
I don't anticipate him saying that. I just anticipate him probably saying the same answer of, we're turning over every stone. We're here in Indianapolis. Like, I think the first day is the big guy. So, like, he'll, we're here. We got interviews today, or we had interviews earlier this week, what have you.
I'm just saying, if he hints at anything towards we're having conversations with them, or
Dave's
even
doing backflips.
Yeah, I'm trying to do them. Again,
it's the key. I'm trying to do them.
Too much beef and cheese.
Yep, there you go. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones, and we've got Rob on the line. Rob, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing very well, Zach and Derek. It's always a pleasure to listen to you guys. I'm chuckling over here because before Derek even said the beef and cheese, that's what I was saying to myself. So I'm all about the beef and cheese wagon. I definitely want that mayhem wrecker. But what I was thinking about was, expect the unexpected of what Bean will do. He's always got something that's unexpected. And I'm looking forward to that. As far as the draft, I hope that the scouts look a little harder, do more homework on overtime, looking for that. Of course, I would love to have Myles Garrett. But if that doesn't work out, I won't be highly disappointed. But it's definitely defense needs to beef up a lot. And our secondary, I'm looking forward to seeing what we do in the draft and during the off season. But I always listen to you guys. And also, as far as the hockey, you guys were talking about that. It reminded me of old time hockey. It was great. When I had the game on Saturday, of course, my situation, I can't see it, but that crowd just like got me so into it. It was so loud and exciting. And, it's hard for me to root for either team because I have ties in Montreal. So, as a Gauthier, it's like it's a win-win situation. I love USA hockey, but I also like the Canadian hockey team as well. I'm really looking forward to this Thursday night, and hopefully TD Bank Arena will do the same thing as far as loud. It was just unbelievable, and I wish. Describe to me how pretty that goal was that Connor McDavid. Was that a backhand or what?
Oh, my goodness.
It was a backhand. And Rob, there's no player that can just turn on the afterburners and fly past you like McDavid.
McDavid with a head start is deadly.
Yeah.
The backhand was crispy. It was like Connor Hellebuck could not do anything about that. And Charlie McAvoy couldn't do anything about it because McDavid's got a full head of steam. at middle ice. Good luck.
Yeah.
Zach Werenski knew it, and like he like kind of like haphazardly like put a stick up toward the shins of McDavid as he's skating by him. Like, yep, I'm cooked. We're done here.
I'm going to put in an effort, but the effort's not going to be good enough.
Zach Werenski was like, eh. And like that's Zach Werenski he made that happen to. So it was Pete Connor McDavid to describe that. But yes, I think though that back to the Four Nations about like U.S. and Canada and everything like that. Like I know our Canadian listeners are going to love me saying this. I want them to win just so that it's like it's spikier and tastier, the rivalry heading into the Olympics.
Yeah, I do want the rivalry at full tilt. I do.
I don't like. Yes, an American win would still probably do the same thing because then the Canadians are like you're angry.
Oh, and two in the tournament in pretty quick succession as well.
As a matter of fact, like they kind of smacked us in the mouth for twice within a week. We don't like that. We're not going to take well to that. But I do think if it's 1-1 in that tournament, it gives a little crispiness, and the Americans again go, yeah, we got them the first time. But we didn't get them the second time.
You lost a game that mattered.
Just like in 2010.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Crispy.
I do want the rivalry on full tilt. It's become must-watch TV for me this Thursday. I've mentioned it Saturday. I was able to watch the first period. Not much else after that. I caught it later. Thursday, though, nope.
Yeah.
I am totally free.
Move your schedule around.
I will be there at probably around 8:20 is when it's actually going to start.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be locked in for that because I think that's going to be amazing television.
Should we get a watch party going?
Maybe. But I've mentioned it too. They got 4.4 million viewers. I think they peaked at just over 5 between ESPN and ABC. I imagine it's going to well surpass their peak because of the buildup of the game now.
The second funny thing about a peak viewership to me now. Because like the Super Bowl, the peak viewership started happening when it's like, wait, the Chiefs are getting what?
Yeah, was it going into halftime or was it like the start of the third quarter?
It was halfway through the second.
Halfway through the second, okay.
Like that's when people are like, hang on, like,
what's happening?
What's happening? I wasn't gonna watch this thing. The Chiefs are getting what? And in this one, it was right at the start.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on, what's going on?
There were how many? Well, that's what happened with me too. Because I was like, I'll get to the game. I don't really need to see the anthems at the start, what have you. And then I happened to be on my phone, and a random Twitter user was just like, "Yep, of course it's going to start with a fight." I'm like, "It started with a fight, yeah!" And so I immediately run to the TV. As I turn it on, it's Brady is fighting then, and I'm like, "This is fantastic. This is great." Yeah. For a good 30 seconds though, I thought I was behind, and that Brady's fight was the first one. Until I listened, and then I was like, "Oh, that's amazing!"
So it was a perfect sequence of events because the fights happen, and that gets people there, and then the McDavid goal happens.
Yeah,
and it's like, "Okay, this is going to be real good." And then McAvoy hits McDavid. U.S. ties it. Like that was the perfect first period.
Yep.
To draw people in and keep them there.
On McAvoy, though, if you did miss it, we do know now, though, due to an upper body injury, it seems to be an infection. He was at the hospital last night. He will not be playing on Thursday. So a key member for the United States team, as you've mentioned, you know, playing a big part in that, will not be there. They've also been dealing with injuries. Brady Tkachuk left for a little bit last night. He only, I think, played, a few shifts as well. After coming back from his injury, he kind of like basically got pushed into the net. Matthew Tkachuk and Austin Matthews are both dealing with stuff, although they don't seem to be long-term. It seems like they'll be there on Thursday, but they're dealing with some issues injury-wise. We'll see how that goes.
What's up with the illnesses and the infections and everything like that going on with this tournament, though?
It's
going
to give PTSD to Sabres fans. Let's not do that. on the draft stuff, and Rob, thanks for the call, man. On the draft stuff, I am just almost preparing for the Bills to not get Garrett. But on your point to the scouts doing extra homework and such, I think for me is find guys who you know can play day one.
Yes.
Who and I've been a big proponent of this because, you've seen the Eagles really do well with it. And it's never a bad idea. Go draft guys off of the national championship teams that were playing high-level college football for years. I like the raw prospects because a lot of them can be fun, and sometimes you get a Josh Allen, and it changes your franchise. A lot of times, though, you're kind of sitting there constantly waiting, and they're not playing much their rookie year. I mean, look at their first two draft picks from the season. Keon Coleman was more of he was growing, then the injury happened, but even before that, it wasn't like he was a guy demanding targets. It wasn't like he was really growing into the offense. He kind of had the Seattle game, and that's about it. And Cole Bishop, we've mentioned, never really forced the Bills' hand to get him into the game.
Right.
It never really happened. Kyer Elam, a complete miss in the first round. You happened, though, to get Christian Benford. It made that one more palatable.
Yeah, you softened the blow on that.
Yeah.
In a big way.
But I think, and again, this is why I've brought up guys like Kenneth Grant. To start these last 2 years, one on the national championship 15-0 Michigan Wolverines, and even this year, they started off bad. That defense was never bad, and they end up getting two pretty huge wins over Ohio State and Alabama, and Grant and Mason Graham played massive roles in that. I mean, they have other guys. Will Johnson's the best cornerback in this draft class. I would even say above, you know, Travis Hunter if you're just looking at a pure cornerback. I think that's where, for me, is go add those guys that have been there, done it. And I think Grant's perfect for the Bills because of his situation. As I mentioned, Mason Graham, that's his other defensive tackle on the other side. And he is a better prospect. I think he might be the best prospect in this draft. I think he is close to a can't-miss defensive tackle you can find. He's that good at Michigan. Grant just happens to be playing next to him. But I don't know if you were listening to me and Josh yesterday. But for Texas, the wide receivers, Isaiah Bond was considered that dude.
Yep.
And he was having really early success, the Michigan game and such. Like he was a burner. He's bigger than Worthy, so you weren't really necessarily have to worry about that. And he was running, you know, kind of a complete route tree at the start of the season. He ultimately suffers an ankle injury, and he's gone for a little bit. And then even when he comes back, him and Ewers never get on the same page. As he's gone and ultimately not getting on the same page with Ewers, who steps up? Matthew Golden. And he went from a guy who I thought he might get in like the late second, maybe third round, is before, of course, the Mari Cooper trade. You know, I'm like, he could be there. He just looks like a smooth operator. This is fantastic. Yet, no, that's gone. Because once it was just his show, and, you know, they had a few freshmen and guys that just weren't his caliber, you saw how good he was. And he now is at a point where, outside of T-Mac from Arizona, Luther Burden from Missouri, and maybe Emeka Ebuka out of Ohio State, it's Golden is like the other first-round wide receiver. That was not true a month and a half ago. I wonder what Grant would be, seen as a prospect-wise, if, say, Mason Graham, I don't want to say out for the year, but missed five or six games and kind of like had to come back from his injury, and Grant was sort of the Batman to their roles.
You know what's an interesting little wrinkle, too, with the draft and how things have kind of traversed, especially with last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember how quarterback and offensive heavy it was in the first 15?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If a run like that happens again this year, especially because of the fact that that quarterback class did reward a lot of the teams took them.
Yes, it did.
There could be teams that are just bad teams trying to take a quarterback down there, and we might see another one of those kinds of runs, even with a quarterback class that doesn't seem as worthy.
Look, Michael Penix last year, no one really expected him to go that high, and specifically that team. But also, you got Jalen Milroe, who is all traits.
Yes.
And we're about to go to the combine, so we'll find. And
that's Cam Ward,
and that's the thing,
Shador,
too. The combine just kind of shows you what NFL teams are actually thinking. Right now, it's just, here are the best players, here's your mock draft. The combine will show you, because they're talking to NFL GMs and scouts.
They're starting to get ideas of, What hands are you tipping at here?
And another quarterback who I know, if you're on any kind of draft Twitter, you've probably heard his name as a sneaky first-round guy, Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss.
Yes.
I saw even Doug Farrar today mention he's watched the tape three times now, and he's like, he's like a mid-first-round guy if you need a quarterback. And you look at a team like a Las Vegas or Cleveland early, if they don't go an Abdul Carter route and you keep Myles Garrett, you're right. You could have that early run of quarterbacks. And all of a sudden, it opens up. There's wide receivers available. There's cornerbacks available.
There's beef and cheese available.
And there's defensive tackle and edge rushers available. The draft could really go a number of ways. The Bills have gotten screwed a few times in that with the wide receiver run. Maybe they get rewarded this year because they don't need to go offense and defense is there available necessarily.
They might also take advantage of it. Say they don't trade for a Garrett or a star pass rusher.
Right, and someone
like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You can move up the board.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. One more segment here before we get you ready for Sabres Live. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR. Segment here as myself, Zach Jones, and Derek Kramer send you over to One Bills Live
Yeah, at noon they're today. Starting at noon today.
I mistakenly said Sabres live in the last segment. Rectified that. Do want to get to real quick some baseball news today. I wanted to get to it in the first hour. Totally missed it. So we're going to get it here. And that is because it's kind of local. We've been talking four nations, Canada, United States. The Toronto Blue Jays, every team now in the MLB, I think even last week, was into spring training. Pitchers and catchers reported. Now we're getting players have started to report and speak with the media. We found out yesterday Mike Trout's moving to right field. Cool, fine. It's going to keep me engaged till about June. For the Blue Jays, man, I feel bad. All-star Vladimir Guerrero Jr. spoke with the media today, and the deadline to sign a new contract was yesterday, and they did not get that done, and he is going to go into free agency, it appears, come Toronto. November. And when speaking with the media, when asked, were you guys close on a number? No.
Toronto has messed up a lot of things, and I think their decline with that new core started the minute they traded Teoscar Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hernandez was becoming just as much of an ascending talent and part of those teams that really started to become fun, fascinating with Bichette, Guerrero, and they get rid of one of the linchpins of that team, of that future, and that spelled the end for them.
Yep.
And I didn't want to be right because I like Toronto. They're actually the team that I cheer for within baseball.
Yep. I know a lot of people locally do that, yeah. Especially they having their stop here in Buffalo for
yes.
a little while.
And oh my God, the amount of fans that were flocking the seats in Buffalo to watch that trio.
Yeah.
Was fantastic.
I feel bad for Blue Jays fans because this also was going with like huge misses in free agency where it felt like you were like in the final three and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani. It's just you hope maybe this year they can kind of figure it out to maybe keep Guerrero. I don't think he's ever going to play for the Yankees. I think he's like openly against them. like personally, but. You then start wondering about
the
team.
But the Dodgers do seem to get everyone now these days.
Yeah, pretty much any big free agent.
Big news from the Four Nations Faceoff. Mike Sullivan confirms Quinn Hughes is joining Team USA.
Oh.
Hughes in, McAvoy out. That's big for Thursday.
All right. That is a new wrinkle for Thursday. That's going to do it for me and Derek. We'll be back tomorrow, but coming up next, One Bills Live on WGR.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.